This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. I am not Kevin Hagelin, nor am I Corey Majors. Reginald Atatula filling in for those gentlemen. Mike Bassick, the famous Mike Bassick, Texas Rangers legend Mike Bassick, still in.
Holy cow.
And we're hanging out with you all 5 days, as well as Alec Medford on the ones and twos. Thank you, sir. Thank you guys for rolling with us on a Monday in what I like to call List Week, baby, because it's one of those weeks. It's one of those weeks in the year where not much is going on as we've hit All-Star break, coming off of the All-Star weekend with all sorts of festivities that you were involved in. We'll have a lot of fun today, but also, we'll have a lot of fun today. A lot of things to cover over the course of this day, because it was, I think I had a fun weekend, but I can't imagine my weekend being nearly as fun as yours, Mike, being in the All-Star Village, signing autographs, being amongst the people, but also covering the Rangers as they had a fantastic, fantastic weekend
series. Yeah, we'll start there with the Texas Rangers. And after Friday night's game, you just didn't feel great again after you lose to the Angels. You had bases loaded a couple times against the Angels. You didn't take advantage of it. You lose a game in LA. And you're like, okay, yeah, you still won the series. And then you go to Houston and immediately don't look good offensively. And you're like, wait, was that fluky, that stretch that the Rangers had for, yeah, I don't know, I'm going to guess 10 to 12 games or so. It might have been longer than that. Or were we coming out of a somewhat couple month long funk and getting back into the team that we believe we have, one of the best offensive teams in baseball to start the season? And you got done with the Houston series. I'll just fast forward, and you win 2 out of 3. And that is huge. But it's weird because you didn't hit really in the series to win. It was all pitching that won you that series.
That and when we talk about fits and starts
all
offense.
Pitching, you're right. It wasn't all pitching, but you had to have phenomenal pitching
to win
that series.
And thankfully, you got a little bit from this man here, cut three, Alec, because he gave you just enough to get you some wins.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a drive deep to right field. Back goes Lou Profeto at the wall. That ball is history. It's a 2-home run game for Josh Smith. He's doing it by himself. The Rangers lead 4-1.
All right, so that was huge there because I felt like the Rangers weren't going to score the rest of that game before that happened.
Huh.
So the Rangers in this game,
yeah,
and this is going to be similar to Saturday's game. The Rangers got a leadoff hit from Marcus Semien.
Yeah.
They got a home run from Josh Smith.
Sure did.
Did you just hear that highlight?
Yeah.
That was their other hit of the game. That was it. Josh Smith hit 2 two-run homers in the first inning. Semien singles. Corey Seager hits into a force play. And so Corey Seager's on base. And then Josh Smith hits the home run. Then the Rangers get no hit from that point on until you get to the eighth inning. And Corey Seager draws a walk. And Josh Smith hits a home run. It counts. It's a win. Right now, a win is a win. You kind of get to the point where you're like, you want to see consistently good play.
Yeah.
Because then you can believe that they're going to go on a magical run.
Plus, that's the stuff that projects forward, right?
Yeah.
Like, the things that project forward is the process of it. And the process of we're putting up a offense, hitting consistently, getting on the bases and moving around them. Like, those are things that project forward. But at this point, I think you've gotten to a place where you can't really worry about projection. You're living and fighting with every game that you play now, I think.
Saturday, Marcus Semien hits a home run to lead off the game.
Yeah.
The Rangers got 3 more hits the rest of the game. In the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning, I believe the Rangers walked 7 times, got hit by a pitch, got 1 hit in the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning. 1 hit in the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning. They drew six or seven walks. They got hit by a pitch. They got hit by another pitch on two strikes. Marcus Semien got hit in the foot, but he swung the bat, so it counted as a strikeout. And they didn't score with bases loaded in the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth inning. And in the 10th inning, Nate Lowe came through huge with a runner on third base and two outs. He gets an opposite field base hit on a breaking ball that stays up in the zone and away, and he hits a line drive to left field. And it's awesome. The Rangers win 2-1. Nathan Eovaldi, spectacular. Bullpen, David Robertson, Kirby Yates, unbelievable. Yesterday, unbelievable bullpen. Good start from Max Scherzer. The bullpen saved the fifth inning. Josh Spores saves the fifth inning. But it's interesting, you win that series, and you look at, you scored two runs in 10 innings and won. You scored four runs on three hits yesterday on two-run homers by Josh Smith and just a single by Marcus Semien, and you win. So you won the series. It's huge. I don't want to take anything away. That was super needed. But it was weird doing the post game of Saturday and Sunday because you're excited. There's wins, and there's things to celebrate.
For sure.
But then you go, all right, you head into the All-Star break, and literally almost everybody on the team besides Josh Smith is kind of struggling at the plate.
Especially when, I mean, coming into this series, and I don't remember if you recalled this conversation, we were talking about it, and I was talking about the probable pitchers, remember? And I looked at it, and I was like, I'm not fearful of Arrigetti, and I forget who the Astros threw out there on Friday night as well. And Ronel Blanco has had a good season, right?
But after the two-run homer, Blanco was nails. He was really good.
Right.
Arrigetti, I'll give him credit, but at the same time, that can't happen. That guy had almost a 6 ERA. He had 16 starts. Only eight of them had he made it through five innings, had he got 15 outs in a start.
Yeah.
So he is a 50-50 guy on getting 15 outs for you as a starting pitcher. And then he throws his best game of the year. You give him credit. It was his best game of the year on Saturday against the Rangers.
Yeah, so I was kind of shocked that offensively didn't come around in those ways. You still saw incredible performances. Would you like to talk about Josh Spores, who looked like he was in World Series form? Would you like to talk about Josh H. Smith? And just like the power that he's had, should we just talk about the fact that now you have reached the All-Star break, which is, that could be super necessary for this team, as you mentioned, who comes in not hitting as well as you would hope to in order getting to the break.
Josh Smith was your first half MVP, and he put an exclamation point on it yesterday. Now, that being said, you won't make, this is nothing against Josh Smith. I don't want anybody to take this wrong. You will not be in a playoff hunt in September if Josh Smith is still your best player at that point. At this point now, Josh Smith, keep doing what you're doing, but this second half needs to be carried by Marcus Semien, Corey Seager. Hopefully, Josh Young comes back and can contribute in a positive way. I know he's coming back. I just don't know, like, how is he going to be with barely any spring training and playing four games this year? And I don't know if he's even coming back on Friday, to be honest. I don't know if he's ready for Friday. We'll probably get closer to that on Thursday if we're hearing positive things from Josh Young.
Did he hit off of a tee yesterday morning? Or it was sometime during this weekend that they said that he was hitting off of a tee, so we're progressing that way at least.
But thank God for Josh Smith, because he was your best player in the first half. And if he would have been just Josh Smith last year, they would probably, I hate saying this, they might be close to a 60 loss team. Now, probably not 60, but you're probably looking at right now, you're 45-50. If Josh Smith was 2023 Josh Smith, you're probably five more losses. I think I can easily say that, because offensively, Josh Smith has moved into the three hole. Like, from batting eighth and ninth last year to now he is your three-hole hitter right now, and I don't think that's going to change when Josh Young comes back immediately.
Right.
Is that he moved his way into a three spot, and he's contributing from that spot in a great way. If you didn't have him, I think you're out of the race, and we are talking today about what do we do with the five or six kind of guys that you could possibly move. But Josh Smith, not single-handedly, but his contribution has kept you in the race.
Actually, to that point, I kind of want to go there because you mentioned Josh H. Smith. He was a totem for you during the course of the first half, the proverbial first half as we've reached the All-Star break. But also, it seems like he a little bit of like the moral center, or at least one that could give us a little bit of an insight into what this team was thinking, at least with this Astros series, because it seems like after this game, he was interviewed, and you took something interesting from it.
With the post-game interview?
Yeah, with the post-game interview.
Yeah, is he admitted I'm going to change the words a little bit here, but he said
the essence of what he was saying.
As we knew as a team that this series not only meant a lot like in the standings, but it meant a lot to probably our front office. Without Chris Young didn't have a meeting, you know, in Anaheim or in Houston and said, if you guys don't go 4-2 or better on this road trip, then I'm trading players. But the players know. They are 20-something years old. Their whole life, I'm 40-something. I did not grow up with social media. Social media happened around, for me, 2005 to 2009 is about when social media started happening in my life, where I was like, what is this thing? What is this Facebook? What is this Twitter thing going on? I can remember asking Ryan Zimmerman in 2007 in a hotel room. I'm like, hey, Zim, what's this? I'm hearing about this Twitter thing. Can you explain to me what Twitter is and what's going on here? Because at the time, Zim, I think, liked a famous person. I forget who it was. Ooh. And was hoping his agent could like
connect them,
make the connection and whatever. And maybe it could happen through, he was saying Twitter. And I'm like, what is this word you're using? Can you help me out with this word that you're saying Twitter? And what does this thing mean? So these guys see it all.
Yeah.
What I'm getting to is there's no way. Oh, I block. No, they can't block out the noise. Their whole life, from whatever age it was, 10 to 14 years old or so, when their parents bought them a phone and gave them a phone and they have internet for their whole lives, they see it all. They see social media and they see MLB Network and they see ESPN and they see whatever it is. They know the rumors. And Josh Smith let you know in that interview, we know. We know the rumors that the Rangers are possibly selling players off of this team. And we knew that we had to make a stand in this series, especially against Houston. And not saying they played their best baseball offensively, but they did pitch their butts off. Is he acknowledged, we know that we might be sellers and we don't want to be. We want this team to stay together and we want to have the ability to push for a playoff spot. And he felt like they did enough, at least for the All-Star break, for possibly Ray Davis and Chris Young and the rest of the front office and the rest of the ownership to not have conversations about it's time to move on.
Yeah, and I mean, you set the baseline on Friday that they needed to go 2-for-3 in this series. They needed to make sure that they won two of these games.
However it happened, it happened. They got it done.
Right, by hook or by crook, they ultimately end up in that place. They are now 46-50, just 5 games back at the AL West leading Mariners. And so, this is really good in that regard. I do want to ask you, though, Mike, real quick before we go here, do you feel like this then answers the question that we've kind of been teetering around for the last month or so on whether this team will be buyers or sellers? Like, do you think that it fully answers it, or does it just give us a little bit of more extension on making that decision as we're still 15 days away from the deadline?
They pushed it down the road.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know if they're going to be buyers.
Okay.
I don't know if financially they can be buyers. I don't like saying that, but I do know with the up in the air TV situation, I don't know how much they can buy to possibly help this team. I think it's going to have to be the guys here and the guys that are hurt that are going to have to help this team out. Selling. There's a big series, which obviously we'll get to way later in the week, against Baltimore.
Yes.
The Seattle Mariners and the Astros play each other to start the second half. So there's going to be at least a loss on one of those teams each night. You come out against Baltimore and you win that series because they're arguably the best in the American League. If you were to win that series, and then the White Sox are next, and you look at this point, you need to sweep the White Sox.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
Yeah, you need to take all
and
those.
Probably Crochet, I'm going to guess, is there's a possibility he doesn't pitch in the series, or if he does, it'd be at the end of the series, because I'm going to assume he pitches either the Friday, Saturday, or Sunday for the White Sox.
Yeah.
And, hey, maybe he gets traded. by the time you're playing them.
That's where I thought you were going first.
But you need to win that homestand overall because the White Sox are on there, so you can win all of those games. Then that changes. Maybe they do try to add a bullpen piece, which I talked about the Miami Marlins being a great team to call up. They have two stud left-handed relievers that you could use one or either of them. I don't know how much they would cost prospect-wise, but I do think that they could still be sellers. If they come out of the gates and they do not play well, and offensively they just don't look like they can really string together big innings, and the thing that we thought was going to carry the 2024 Texas Rangers, I don't know what those conversations will be on, let's say, July 27th.
Sure.
When Chris Young and Ray Davis and company are having a discussion on how hard do we go after the last 2 months of this season.
Yeah, but Josh Smith and your Texas Rangers, they say not today on that decision. 2 of 3 they win over the weekend against the hated Houston Astros, headed into the All-Star break. It's KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through the Fan. Reginald Atitula, Mike Bassick, Alec Metfer on the ones and twos. We're with you all day long. Coming up next, do you have any interest in Summer League? As the Mavs got their Summer League action going this weekend, we'll discuss that next on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice handle there. Bees are flying now. AJ Lawson.
Are you interested? Do you have any interest in the Summer League? It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through the Fan. Reginald Atitula sitting in for the boys. Mike Bassick always here with you. Alec Metfer as well. 877-881-1053 is the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Your Mavs got going in Las Vegas Summer League on Saturday. And as you heard, AJ Lawson did a little bit of punching it home. Melvin Ejensa, the second round pick for your Mavericks, played in this. He's playing in Summer League. There's some interesting things there. Omax Prosper is obviously the big one that everybody's watching. Does any of this interest you at all from a Mavs perspective or even at a wider perspective? Because this is pre-preseason basketball. And preseason sports is already, kind of a tough thing. I'm interested. Do the Tolos and Mike, do you have any interest in Summer League basketball?
So I'm old enough now at 46 years old that I've watched the likes of Mo Agar, Darnell Harvey, Eduardo Nájera.
I know that name.
Nick Fizikas.
Definitely know that name.
All of these guys to come through. And I was like, I got to watch them play Summer League basketball. With Rodrigue Bobois.
Yeah.
And I've done it, and I've seen some guys impress me in Summer League basketball, and I've seen some guys not play that great in Summer League basketball.
Right.
And then I have an opinion on what they might do or might not do in the NBA season coming up. And it is so inconsistent on what they do. I will call this low A ball. So if you follow baseball and basketball, low A ball, four guys on your team are probably going to make it to the major leagues at some point in their career. Maybe five if like you have a really good low A ball team. But you're looking at 3 to 5 guys making the major leagues at some point. And they're not ready for the major leagues yet for the most part. But you can see some premium prospects. And then you'll see a lot of guys that just never make it. And so that's the Summer League. And so because of me watching it for so long, the last few years, I've just gone, there's so much that I have going on in my life.
Right.
That I can't put that in my time. And then I've not seen any positive result as like it hasn't paid off.
Yeah,
for
there's
me.
Not there's not really a correlation.
Yeah. And so because there's no correlation on if you play great in Summer League, you're going to be a good NBA player or a role player. If you play subpar in Summer League, but you are a really high draft pick, that means you're already a bust and you're not going to play well your rookie year or in your career. So because I don't see any correlation between Summer League and the season, I've decided over time I've watched plenty of it. I've decided over time that it's not for me. I will read about it. I'll watch you on Locked On Mavs with.
Hey.
I always just say Nick.
Yeah.
I struggle with his last name.
Angstat. Yeah, yeah, names aren't always the easiest thing for you, are they?
So, yeah, so I will watch a YouTube conversation on what happened in the summer league for the Dallas Mavericks, but I just don't spend any time watching it anymore because I haven't found myself seeing the results of if this person does this, then this will result in the season.
Yeah, I'm with you there, right? This is pre-preseason basketball, as I said earlier. And I'm already in a place where, look, I work in this thing, so I understand what the do's and don'ts are of this job and what's necessary. And so sometimes you have to watch preseason things, right? Where we talk about spring training, you get an idea, especially of what's happening with your team, and you get some of the feel. It's necessary to talk about what's happening with that team. With football, preseason football, we're trying to determine who's going to be on that roster, who's going to be in that 53rd spot, even though, let's be completely honest, that if that 53rd spot is playing in a big way, we got real questions, right? Preseason sports, if I was just a fan, I absolutely understand why you would go, why do I care about this one iota, right? We're already talking about regular seasons being watered down and not matter. Preseason, and then this is even more preseason because now we're talking about, as you mentioned, a lot of guys that likely aren't making it. And I feel like with Summer League, a lot of times what it is here for is, one, it is there to be a convention for NBA people.
Right, yeah, right? 100%. It's kind of like their winter meetings.
Exactly.
The winter meetings, what the winter meetings are for baseball is for a lot of minor league jobs to be filled in, like, sales and marketing and all of these things around the country. Plus, there are some major league jobs open in that category. Not major league jobs for general manager or assistant general manager, yeah, or coaching staffs. Those are pretty much done. But, yeah, I feel like, to your point, this is what it is in July. All the general managers are there. There's probably head of marketing there. And they're saying, hey, what worked in your arena this year that you really took a risk on? And what did you guys do that took a risk on that it just fell flat? It wasn't a good promotion. It didn't really gain any interest in your city. So, yeah, to your point, I bet there's a lot of that going on.
A ton of fraternizing with the people in the sport. So, like, I think media types going, they get information from each other and just kind of hang out, build relationships, maybe sometimes with players, because you'll see some of the players, and we saw some of the big wigs of your Mavs out there watching this game. But I think, too, is if you have a young stud that you just drafted that you're hoping to get some eyes on, to get an idea, maybe not even figure out what they'll be, but just you're excited about this. One of those guys for me that I've seen, Reed Shepard, the kid from Kentucky,
okay,
that got drafted to the Rockets, he just looks like a player, right?
Okay.
And you mentioned Zach Edey when we were talking about that. I've been like, oh, okay, maybe he can play at an NBA level just because of the skill itself, but not necessarily like the performance, if that makes sense. Like, I get to see the skill in a different way. But then
I've seen a lot of hype on Edey.
Yeah.
I have not seen the hype. I've been busy. I have not seen the hype on Reed Shepard, at least on YouTube and on the internet, that I've seen on Zach Edey, where a lot of, like, oh, this was a great pick. He is going to be awesome. And I'm just like, dude, like, I do, for some reason, I don't know why I keep, maybe it's, YouTube, how it gets you and it keeps feeding you.
Yeah.
If you watch it,
you fall in a rabbit hole of things.
Gilbert Arenas, I keep getting all the Gilbert Arenas opinions. And I'm like, I don't even know if these are the best opinions, but I keep getting, he's on there with Kenyon Martin and Brandon Jennings are usually,
yeah,
the main three. There's other guys. The guy that was a total flop from North Carolina, horrible, Rashad McCants.
Rashad McCants.
Yeah.
And he's been getting the NBA world going. He loves giving hot takes.
Yeah. And I just am like, you guys played Summer League. You guys have seen Summer League stars be complete flops. Give it some time. But I've just heard this. Zach Edey was the best pick. Zach Edey is going to be unbelievable. And I'm like, he's playing Summer League against 6'1" Bronny James. Like, I know they're not guarding each other, but I'm like, it's just tough. It's good. I like that Zach Edey could work out. I really have no care. I know he's with Memphis, so in a way, I hope he doesn't work out.
Sure.
I'm not against the person. I'm for the Mavericks more than against him or against Memphis. But I just look at it and go, man, people will have these strong takes on two Summer League basketball games. And I've seen too many Summer League basketball games where it doesn't correlate. But
yeah,
Zach Edey's getting a lot of love. I didn't know about Reed Shepard, so let me ask you this. Have you watched him? Like, does he look, in a way, I know this isn't maybe fair, but does he look, when I watched him at Kentucky the few times, I just thought, like, he's kind of more of a catch and shoot guy with some skills as handling a ball? Does he look better at handling a ball than I think?
He looked a little bit better handling the ball. I was kind of surprised. And look, I'm talking off of a lot of kind of highlight reels put together on SportsCenter. And because I don't think that I've watched a full Rockets summer league game because, again, right, we're talking about preseason and there's plenty of things to do this weekend when we talk about all the sports and the baseball and watching the Rangers get 2 or 3 against the Astros. But, I mean, it did seem like he was handling the ball where they were actually, like, putting him in point guard positions, even though I don't think that that's necessarily what he's going to do. And I think that they did that to maybe kind of stretch him and see what he could do on ball. He seemed diligent in that way, but he was definitely knockdown shooter, pull-up shooter, and defensively he got, like, 5 steals. Okay. In one of those games, which I thought was really interesting. But that's the Rockets guy. Let's talk about the Mavs because the Mavs played, and I feel like the two big names for your Mavs, Omax Prosper and Melvin Ejensa. And then I thought that they played pretty interestingly because Melvin Ejensa shot really unafraid in this game. Like, he took shots. He didn't knock them down necessarily. He was
left-handed?
1 of 5.
Or does he just like dunking left-handed? I remember his highlights in the draft. Is he a right-handed shooter?
He is a lefty, if I remember correctly.
Well, good. But I like him even more.
Exactly.
Now.
Yes, the lefty pitcher that we have on the KNC Masterpiece, Mike Bassick, approves 5 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3 in the course of this. Of course, the game against the Utah Jazz, and during this, Jared Greenberg had an interesting thing that he said on the call. He was on the call with Candace Parker. He said that Melvin Ejensa is playing for a roster spot. And he went as far as to say that basically, if he, when he was drafted, I thought we looked
Greenberg
at it.
Greenberg heard this from somebody?
I mean, remember, he ends up being a reporter, and now he's calling a game in Summer League, but he plies his trade as a reporter.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that he is doing the reporting here when he says that the Mavs want to see what he can do in Summer League. They drafted him, and I think the reporting was that he'll probably be a drafted stash, but depending on how he plays in Summer League, he could be, you know, get one of the roster spots on this team. Is that something you're at all interested in when it comes to the Summer League of this all and maybe Melvin Ejensa being with the big club or maybe obviously getting some time with the G League Texas Legends as well as opposed to remaining overseas for a time period?
Yes, but I'm only interested by watching a 5-minute YouTube conversation on it or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to, I don't know if they probably play today or tonight or something.
Yeah, they play tonight.
I'm going to the Home Run Derby tonight. Yeah. I'm super pumped about that. I just can't see myself getting back from that tonight at, let's say, 10 or 11 o'clock or whatever time I get home and being like, oh, man, I hope I recorded the Mavs Summer League game to see if Melvin Ejensa did enough that I think he should be the 14th or 15th guy on the team. I do think that there's potential in him, and I think the great thing is Nico Harrison has changed my thought about the draft.
Mm.
Nico cares about all 60 picks.
Yeah.
I think the Mavs, I don't even know, I'm going to say that it seemed like Mark Cuban cared about the first 14 picks, and then about after that, he stopped caring.
Yeah, the lottery, and then...
And so I look at Nico and his short time here. By the way, in another conversation maybe this week, I wonder if Nike just hitting the tank is part of losing Nico. Over time, losing Nico has cost Nike billions of dollars.
Mm.
Is, I'm wondering with going back to... the kind of last spot on the team and everything is like, how much, I know he can't contribute. I'm just going to assume Ejensa can't contribute in 2024-25, but he could make the team. They'd give him a 4-year, I'll say like Bronny contract, like, or a Jaden Hardy contract. They don't want the Jalen Brunson thing to ever happen again.
Mm.
And Nico's smart enough to see those things in the future. And I love that Nico is now running the basketball operation. So if he is that good, awesome. I don't think he's going to play on the team. And I think that he would spend a lot of his time with the Texas Legends getting his run, getting his minutes to improve his basketball game. But that would be a great sign. If you traded from 58 to 51 and this guy played well enough in summer league, you're like, we want to give him a 4-year guaranteed contract. Then that would be a great sign that Nico found somebody that they think in year 2 or year 3 could possibly get into the rotation off of the bench. And by year 4, because if you start looking at financially, I know this gets way down the road,
yeah,
but if you start looking at financially where the Mavs are going to be when PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford are up. Derek Lively's a restricted free agent. You know, all of these things, you start looking at Omax Prospers and people like that, you're going to need them to help out because you just can't pay the aprons that they've put on restrictions. I cannot give five players $30 to $50 million a year, each guy.
Right, and when teams try that, hello, Phoenix Suns, we've found it doesn't work that well. They need that support. So, yeah, Nico Harrison was on the broadcast for a moment. He talked a little bit. I might circle back around to some of that audio because he talked about Omax as well and what he could mean to this team. So we might circle back to that. But, yeah, it seems like on the text line, on the YouTube, on the Twitch, for the most part, the answer is no. They're not interested in Summer League right now. And I understand why. You don't have a big-name draft pick that you got. I think the big name that you're looking at is Omax Prosper, late first round pick from last year that didn't factor in. Plus, I think you're a team that went to the finals. This is a team that you're looking at the here and now of it. And the big name of the offseason for the Mavs is Klay Thompson. I think we're super excited to see him and what the Mavs have once they get to the regular season and really once they get to the postseason next year. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday evening. And look, we're coming up on 10:40. I know what that time is for. It's for a little baseball nuggets with Mike Bassett.
Max Scherzer, the MLB draft. Can you imagine in the NFL if an offensive guard went number one overall? Because that's what just happened in the MLB draft. Next.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through the Fan. Reginald Adetula, Mike Bassett, and Alec Medford hanging out with you on a Monday morning, soon to be afternoon, not an evening, although I reflexively said that earlier, trying to get the hang of filling in for the gentlemen, for the Kevin and Corey. They'll be out all week on vacay. So you stuck with me. You stuck with me. But you know what? Don't worry about that. We'll still get you your staples. Like right now, it's time for a little baseball nuggets with Mike Bassett.
All right. A whole bunch to get to. If I don't get to it, I'll get to it later in the show. Once again, just going to the All-Star Village. If you haven't been out there, get out there. It's today and tomorrow. It's awesome. Once again, the next time we're going to have the All-Star game here will be something like 2040-something or 2050-something. It's just the way it is. We'll get it again because of the stadium and it being indoors, but it's not going to be every 5 years or every 10 years. It will be at best 15 years from now, and probably more like 20 plus years from now, we'll get another All-Star game.
You don't feel like this is anything like the Super Bowl where they're like,
No, I don't think so. There's just so many new stadiums and so many places, and they want to spread the love to all of the cities, but it is an awesome event. Go out there. Hey, I got to meet so many of you yesterday. Thank you so much for saying how much you love Baseball Nuggets and you love me on the station, and it's just the best baseball station and the best baseball segments. So thank you guys so much for all the compliments. They also said that I am the funniest, and I did, like, you know, say, well, I could have been a professional comedian after I was done playing baseball, but I decided to do sports talk radio for a little bit. But they're like, oh, you guys make us laugh all the time too. So there are a lot of people that said KNC Masterpiece and you are really funny and make us laugh a lot and stuff like that. So thank you to all the people that came out, took pictures, wanted my autograph. Some people, it's funny, I was in the line for the biggest baseball in the world, which is not a baseball at all.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I need some updates on this.
It is plastic. Maybe not even plastic. Like, it has unbelievable autographs on it. I mean, Hank Aaron's autograph is on it. Lou Brock, Willie Mays, Ozzie Smith.
So it's autographed authentic?
It's autographed by a lot of legends. Derek Jeter. I mean, there are people that aren't in the Hall of Fame, but then were great players. Fred Lynn, Will Clark. It's autographed. You can get your picture taken with that, with usually a legend. And then I would step out of the way. I was like, hey, if you guys want a family photo, I know I'm here for the photo opportunity. I will get out of the photo so you guys can take a family photo too with it. But that was really cool because I was like, what's the largest baseball? But it's not a base. It's shaped as a baseball.
But then it's not rawhide and twine and all that.
It's not like leather or anything like that. So I was thinking that it was like literally like a baseball, just supersized baseball. Like a softball is a bigger baseball for the most part.
Yeah.
I just thought it would just keep getting bigger and bigger, and somehow they were making a real baseball, but supersized. But this is not a real baseball, but that's at Choctaw Stadium, and
not a casino, not yet, at least.
But there's places you can take batting practice. So if you ever wanted to take batting practice, there's a wiffle ball area.
How public is it? Because I don't want to embarrass myself in front of too many people.
It's very public. Oh, okay. Like, I mean, it's all outdoor. It's all set up on the stadium. Like, but there's obviously a lot of things to do. That's the outdoor part, and I get it. It's going to be hot today.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of shades. There's fans. There's free water areas to fill up water, your water bottle. So if you want to bring a water bottle and go, well, there's only one water bottle, they have plenty of places to fill up your water for free. Obviously, there's concessions there, too, and food there, too. Then they have the esports thing, which is awesome to go to. That's all indoor, but that's where you can get autographs. I saw Mike Cameron for the first time ever, and that was my first ever batter I faced in the major league. So we had a fun time talking about that.
Is that something that was just etched in your brain, like that's the first batter, or was it something you had to go back and find?
I was like, when I saw him, I was like, oh, yeah, because I remembered, like, he hit a double off the wall with the bases loaded, nobody out. So I came in, first time to relief in my life is in the major leagues with the bases loaded, nobody out on Sunday Night Baseball, and it's
great
against Mike Cameron. And I get 0-2 on him, works it to 3-2. I'm like, I can't walk him. I just cannot walk in a guy. And I know I can throw a strike anytime I want to throw a strike, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a quality strike. There's a difference between throwing a strike and a quality strike. And I did not throw a quality strike, and Mike Cameron smacked it off of the wall at Jacobs Field for a double, and then the floodgates were open from that point on. But it was just awesome going out there, seeing the legends. You get to see the legends. So many former Rangers. If you're a Rangers fan, you got to get out there. You can see people like Josh Hamilton was after me at the ball, at the world's largest ball. Well, they're like, hey, can you do 2 more minutes? There's a few other people. I'm like, yeah. And I see this line way over there. I'm like, hey, come on up. And they're like, no. They don't want your picture. They're waiting for Josh Hamilton. So there's like a line of like 150 people like that. They were in line. There are people, there's like the common line where Mike Bassick is there, go ahead. And then there was a line like, if you don't want your picture until Josh Hamilton comes, he will be here in 5 minutes. But we got to get through this 30-minute session with Mike Bassick. But there's question and answers. A lot of Tolos out there yelling different things
that were
kind of Tolo stuff and listening to baseball nuggets. So it was awesome. Let me get to yesterday's game again. And I do want to get to this for the second half. I think this is important. Max Scherzer, if you didn't watch the game, I get it, man. It's a Sunday. You could be at church. You could be with your family. You could be out at the All-Star Village. You could be doing a lot of things right now. Max Scherzer did pitch really well. I liked his stuff. I liked his breaking ball. Through 4 innings, he'd given up a solo home run. He had struck out 6 guys. I thought he was looking really good. But in the 5th inning, he gives up a base hit. It was nothing special, just a base hit. And then the next guy, Myers, I believe, lays down a beautiful bunt. And then he gets 1-2 on their 8-hole hitter. I always can't say his last name well, so I'm not going to say it.
Was it Loper Fido?
Yes, thank you very much. He gets 1-2 on him, and I'm like, all right, he's going to put him away or get a double play ball. Big situation, it's Max Scherzer. He doesn't throw a very competitive 1-2 pitch. He throws a great 2-2 pitch.
They have a guy named Cabbage? Sorry.
Yeah, Cabbage came in and pinch hit. He lays off a great 2-2 pitch. And then on 3-2, he misses his fastball by about 6 inches outside. So 2 out of the 3 pitches on 1-2, he just didn't execute. And this is where the Hall of Famer comes in.
Mm.
Not Max Scherzer, and he is going to be a future Hall of Famer. Awesome game. I want to tell you, Max Scherzer's looking good for the second half. As long as he stays healthy, you do have a quality starting pitcher in your rotation in Max Scherzer. But Bruce Bochy, with Max Scherzer on the mound, he's throwing well, but this inning, it's a ground ball for a hit. It's a bunt for a hit. It's a 1-2 count that gets to 3-2, and he allows a walk. And he brings in Spores with nobody out, 9-1-2 coming up. And he gets out of that situation without giving up a run. I thought the worst thing to do in Houston for both teams was to load the bases, because that meant you weren't going to score any runs.
Yeah.
Because the Rangers couldn't score any runs in that series with bases loaded. And then Houston didn't do it there in the 5th inning. But, man, Bruce Bochy made some really tough decisions yesterday and great decisions. He brought in Jacob Latz, which, I'll be honest, he hasn't been pitching great of late, so I was a little bit nervous. And he throws 3 pitches to Yordan Alvarez. Fastball in, strike 1. Breaking ball down and away in the zone, strike 2. Fastball up and away, 97, strike 3. Huge out, and then he doesn't let down his guard. He does get 2-0 on Diaz. Throws change up, and he gets foul ball and then ground ball to shortstop to get out of first and second, 1 out, facing Alvarez. And I do believe Diaz in the future is going to be an all-star.
Yeah, he looks like he's good. Yeah.
So I thought that was huge, and then you had Kirby Yates able to close it out. Even Jose Leclerc looked pretty good in his relief appearance.
For
too.
Sure.
He had an error that happened, and then Bregman got a hit, and that's when Latz came in and did a great job. But great job by the staff. I don't know if I'm going to have enough time to get into all of this, but the Rangers took a catcher with their first round pick, number 30 overall. You hope to pick 30 every year because that means you are the world champions. They take Malcolm Moore out of Stanford. Now, I'd been told and kind of tipped off that the Rangers were strongly looking at a catcher in the first round, and there were two first round catchers that were possibly going to be available. One being Walker Janik from Sam Houston. And in fact, reading about him, he was not a highly recruited kid out of high school for college or for the pros, and just had a great career at Sam Houston and was able to get drafted 28th by the Houston Astros. And I don't know this, but I wonder, my wonder is, where did the Rangers have Walker Janik versus Malcolm Moore, who they drafted? I'm not saying they're disappointed with Malcolm Moore at all, but from what I understand, they wanted one of the two catchers. When you get to, anytime you're doing a fantasy draft and you get to one of the picks where you've had a guy marked and then it gets closer and closer to you, you're thinking, this is going to happen. Like, I didn't think this was going to happen, but we're at pick 24, 25, 26, and you start getting to like, we only need a few more picks to go our way, and we're going to get the catcher of our choice. I don't know which one was higher on the Rangers board, but I look at it this way. The Rangers do get Malcolm Moore, a catcher from Stanford, and a college catcher. Here's what I think. I don't know if Jonah Heim's going to get a long-term contract with the Texas Rangers. And if you look at Jonah Heim and what he has left with the Rangers, he has a few more seasons left. Well, Malcolm Moore, as long as you sign him, you get him to catch a little bit this year in like low A ball or even in Arizona, but you get him to catch a little bit. Next year, he starts off, let's just say, in high A ball. I don't know if that's what the Rangers' plan is, but he starts off in high A ball and he catches the whole season in A ball. And then the next year, in 2026, he catches the whole year in double A, or most of the year in double A. And then I think the hope is, because they took a college catcher, I'm not saying this is the plan and it'll work out perfectly, but then the plan is in 2027, Malcolm Moore is ready to start taking over as your catcher.
Yeah, because you look at Jonah Heim, he signed a one-year deal for this season, but he's got a couple more arbitration years, and he would become a free agent in 27.
Yeah, and maybe the Rangers would want to do a two-year deal with him, and Malcolm Moore's not ready, but the hope is that Malcolm Moore, your first-round pick, is probably around 2027 or 28, is ready to be a catcher that you can rely on at least for 50% of the time. So, the Rangers, it's tough in these drafts, whether it's NHL draft or whether it's MLB draft, because you're not getting immediate help. But I do think the Rangers looked at it and said, all right, let's look at where we're at. And let's be honest here. Pitching prospects haven't worked out perfectly for them in the draft recently.
Yeah.
And so I think they looked at a hitter. They wanted a hitter in this draft and most likely a college hitter. And they were really looking at catcher. And then if you look at after that, after these two catchers were taken, it seemed to be, at least on boards, I can only go off of that. I didn't watch college and high school baseball.
What?
Top catching prospects. It seemed like there were a drop-off after these two guys. These two guys were considered first-round picks. And then after that, you didn't really have anybody pushing that would be considered a first-round pick. So the Rangers did get a catcher, something that they wanted in this draft in the first round. I just don't know if they wanted the Sam Houston catcher or the Stanford catcher.
Okay. Well, they did get a catcher, and there you go. Mike Bacsik's Baseball Nuggets getting you up to date with baseball. And look, we're not done with baseball. I imagine Mike likes it. We might dip back into it.
Plenty of baseball left. So for all you people that said hello to me and love me and love the station and love KNC Masterpiece, don't worry. I got you covered, as they told me. There's nothing like Mike Bacsik and talking baseball on 105.3 The Fan.
It's a baseball show of record. I've often said that. So, yeah, that we're going to keep that going for you here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's dive into this series that's been happening on ESPN. Who are the top 10 quarterbacks? And does Dak Prescott make a appearance? We'll talk about that more next on The Fan.
Next.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through the Fan. Reginald Atatula, Mike Bacsik, and Alec Medford hanging out with you on a Monday morning, soon to be afternoon. Not an evening, although I reflexively said that earlier. Trying to get the hang of filling in for the gentlemen, for the Kevin and Corey. They'll be out all week on vacay. So you stuck with me. But you know what? Don't worry about that. We'll still get you your staples. Like right now, time for a little baseball nuggets with Mike Bazzick.
All right, a whole bunch to get to. If I don't get to it, I'll get to it later in the show. Once again, just going to the All-Star Village. If you haven't been out there, get out there. It's today and tomorrow. It's awesome. Once again, the next time we're going to have the All-Star game here will be something like 2040-something or 2050-something. It's just the way it is. We'll get it again because of the stadium and it being indoors, but it's not going to be every 5 years or every 10 years. It will be at best 15 years from now, and probably more like 20 plus years from now, we'll get another All-Star game.
You don't feel like this is anything like the Super Bowl where they're like, eh?
No, I don't think so. There's just so many new stadiums and so many places, and they want to spread the love to all of the cities, but it is an awesome event. Go out there. Hey, I got to meet so many of you yesterday. Thank you so much for saying how much you love Baseball Nuggets and you love me on the station, and it's just the best baseball station and the best baseball segments. So thank you guys so much for all the compliments. They also said that I am the funniest, and I did, like, you know, say, well, I could have been a professional comedian after I was done playing baseball, but I decided to do sports talk radio for a little bit. But they're like, oh, you guys make us laugh all the time, too. So there are a lot of people that said KNC Masterpiece, and you are really funny and make us laugh a lot and stuff like that. So thank you to all the people that came out, took pictures, wanted my autograph. Some people, it's funny, I was in the line for the biggest baseball in the world, which is not a baseball at all.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I need some updates on this.
It is plastic. Maybe not even plastic. It has unbelievable autographs on it. I mean, Hank Aaron's autograph is on it. Lou Brock, Willie Mays, Ozzie Smith.
So it's
autographed
authentic?
Yes.
Ooh,
it's autographed by a lot of legends. Derek Jeter. I mean, there are people that aren't in the Hall of Fame, but then were great players. Fred Lynn, Will Clark. It's autographed. You can get your picture taken with that, with usually a legend. And then I would step out of the way. I was like, hey, if you guys want a family photo, I know I'm here for the photo opportunity. I will get out of the photo so you guys can take a family photo too with it. But that was really cool because I was like, what's the largest baseball? But it's not a baseball. It's shaped as a baseball.
But then it's not rawhide and twine and all that.
It's not like leather or anything like that. So I was thinking that it was like literally like a baseball, just supersized baseball. Like a softball is a bigger baseball for the most part.
Yeah.
I just thought it would just keep getting bigger and bigger, and somehow they were making a real baseball, but supersized. But this is not a real baseball, but that's at Choctaw Stadium, and
not a casino, not yet, at least.
But there's places you can take batting practice. So if you ever wanted to take batting practice, there's a wiffle ball area.
How public is it? Because I don't want to embarrass myself in front of too many people.
It's very public. Oh, okay. It's all outdoor. It's all set up on the stadium. But there's obviously a lot of things to do. That's the outdoor part, and I get it. It's going to be hot today.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of shades. There's fans. There's free water areas to fill up water, your water bottle. So if you want to bring a water bottle and go, well, there's only one water bottle, they have plenty of places to fill up your water for free. Obviously, there's concessions there, too, and food there, too. Then they have the esports thing, which is awesome to go to. That's all indoor, but that's where you can get autographs. I saw Mike Cameron for the first time ever, and that was my first ever batter I faced in the major league. So we
really
had a fun time talking about that.
Is that something that was just etched in your brain, like that's the first batter, or was this something you had to go back and find?
I was like, when I saw him, I was like, oh, yeah, because I remembered he hit a double off the wall with the bases loaded, nobody out. So I came in, first time to relief in my life. It's in the major leagues with the bases loaded, nobody out on Sunday Night Baseball, and it's
great
against Mike Cameron. And I get 0-2 on him, works it to 3-2. I'm like, I can't walk him. I just cannot walk in a guy. And I know I can throw a strike anytime I want to throw a strike, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a quality strike. There's a difference between throwing a strike and a quality strike, and I did not throw a quality strike, and Mike Cameron smacked it off of the wall at Jacobs Field for a double, and then the floodgates were open from that point on. But it was just awesome going out there, seeing the legends. You get to see the legends. So many former Rangers. If you're a Rangers fan, you got to get out there. You can see people like Josh Hamilton was after me at the world's largest ball. Well, they're like, hey, can you do 2 more minutes? There's a few other people. I'm like, yeah. And I see this line way over there. I'm like, hey, come on up. And they're like, no, no, no. They don't want your picture. They're waiting for Josh Hamilton. So there's a line of 150 people like that. They were in line. There are people, there's the common line where Mike Bassick is there, go ahead. And then there was a line if you don't want your picture until Josh Hamilton comes, he will be here in 5 minutes. But we got to get through this 30-minute session with Mike Bassick. But there's question and answers. A lot of Tolos out there yelling different things.
That's
that
right.
Were kind of Tolo stuff and listening to Baseball Nuggets. So it was awesome. Let me get to yesterday's game again. And I do want to get to this for the second half. I think this is important. Max Scherzer, if you didn't watch the game, I get it, man. It's a Sunday. You could be at church. You could be with your family. You could be out at the All-Star Village. You could be doing a lot of things right now. Max Scherzer did pitch really well. I liked his stuff. I liked his breaking ball. Through four innings, he'd given up a solo home run. He had struck out six guys. I thought he was looking really good. But in the fifth inning, he gives up a base hit. It was nothing special, just a base hit. And then the next guy, Myers, I believe, lays down a beautiful bunt. And then he gets 1-2 on their eight-hole hitter. I always can't say his last name well, so I'm not going to say it.
Was it Loperfido?
Yes, thank you very much. He gets 1-2 on him, and I'm like, all right, he's going to put him away or get a double play ball. Big situation. It's Max Scherzer. He doesn't throw a very competitive 1-2 pitch. He throws a great 2-2 pitch.
They have a guy named Cabbage. Sorry.
Yeah, Cabbage came in and pinch hit. He lays off a great 2-2 pitch. And then on 3-2, he misses his fastball by about 6 inches outside. So two out of the three pitches on 1-2, he just didn't execute. And this is where the Hall of Famer comes in. Mm. Not Max Scherzer, and he is going to be a future Hall of Famer. Awesome game. I want to tell you, Max Scherzer's looking good for the second half. As long as he stays healthy, you do have a quality starting pitcher in your rotation in Max Scherzer. But Bruce Bochy, with Max Scherzer on the mound, he's throwing well, but this inning, it's a ground ball for a hit. It's a bunt for a hit. It's a 1-2 count that gets to 3-2, and he allows a walk. And he brings in Spores with nobody out, 9-1-2 coming up. And he gets out of that situation without giving up a run. I thought the worst thing to do in Houston for both teams was to load the bases, because that meant you weren't going to score any runs.
Yeah.
Because the Rangers couldn't score any runs in that series with bases loaded. And then Houston didn't do it there in the fifth inning. But, man, Bruce Bochy made some really tough decisions yesterday and great decisions. He brought in Jacob Latz, which, I'll be honest, he hasn't been pitching great of late. So I was a little bit nervous. And he throws three pitches to Yordan Alvarez. Fastball in, strike one. Breaking ball down and away in the zone, strike two. Fastball up and away, 97, strike three. Huge out. And then he doesn't let down his guard. He does get 2-0 on Diaz. Throws change up. And he gets foul ball and then ground ball to shortstop to get out of first and second, one out, facing Alvarez. And I do believe Diaz in the future is going to be an all-star.
Yeah, he looks like he's good. Yeah.
So I thought that was huge. And then you had Kirby Yates able to close it out. Even Jose Leclerc looked pretty good in his relief appearance.
For sure.
He had an error that happened, and then Bregman got a hit, and that's when Latz came in and did a great job. But great job by the staff. I don't know if I'm going to have enough time to get into all of this, but the Rangers took a catcher with their first round pick, number 30 overall. You hope to pick 30 every year because that means you are the world champions. They take Malcolm Moore out of Stanford. Now, I'd been told and kind of tipped off that the Rangers were strongly looking at a catcher in the first round, and there were two first round catchers that were possibly going to be available. One being Walker Janik from Sam Houston. And in fact, reading about him, he was not a highly recruited kid out of high school for college or for the pros, and just had a great career at Sam Houston and was able to get drafted 28th by the Houston Astros. And I don't know this, but I wonder, my wonder is, where did the Rangers have Walker Janik versus Malcolm Moore, who they drafted? I'm not saying they're disappointed with Malcolm Moore at all, but from what I understand, they wanted one of the two catchers. When you get to, anytime you're doing a fantasy draft and you get to one of the picks where you've had a guy marked and then it gets closer and closer to you, you're thinking, this is going to happen. Like, I didn't think this was going to happen, but we're at pick 24, 25, 26. And you start getting to, like, we only need a few more picks to go our way, and we're going to get the catcher of our choice. I don't know which one was higher on the Rangers board, but I look at it this way. The Rangers do get Malcolm Moore, a catcher from Stanford, and a college catcher. Here's what I think. I don't know if Jonah Heim's going to get a long-term contract with the Texas Rangers. And if you look at Jonah Heim and what he has left with the Rangers, he has a few more seasons left. Well, Malcolm Moore, as long as you sign him, you get him to catch a little bit this year in, like, low A ball or even in Arizona, but you get him to catch a little bit. Next year, he starts off, let's just say, in high A ball. I don't know if that's what the Rangers' plan is, but he starts off in high A ball and he catches the whole season in A ball. And then the next year, in 2026, he catches the whole year in double A, or most of the year in double A. And then I think the hope is because they took a college catcher, I'm not saying this is the plan and it will work out perfectly, but then the plan is in 2027, Malcolm Moore is ready to start taking over as your catcher.
Yeah, because you look at Jonah Heim, he signed a one-year deal for this season, but he's got a couple more arbitration years, and he would become a free agent in 27.
Yeah, and maybe the Rangers would want to do a two-year deal with him, and Malcolm Moore's not ready. But the hope is that Malcolm Moore, your first-round pick, is probably around 2027 or 28, is ready to be a catcher that you can rely on at least for 50% of the time. So, the Rangers, it's tough in these drafts, whether it's NHL draft or whether it's MLB draft, because you're not getting immediate help. But I do think the Rangers looked at it and said, all right, let's look at where we're at, and let's be honest here. Pitching prospects haven't worked out perfectly for them in the draft recently.
Yeah.
And so I think they looked at a hitter. They wanted a hitter in this draft, and most likely a college hitter, and they were really looking at catcher. And then if you look at after that, after these two catchers were taken, it seemed to be, at least on boards, I can only go off of that. I didn't watch college and high school baseball.
What?
Top catching prospects. It seemed like there were a drop-off after these two guys. These two guys were considered first-round picks. And then after that, you didn't really have anybody pushing that would be considered a first-round pick. So the Rangers did get a catcher, something that they wanted in this draft in the first round. I just don't know if they wanted the Sam Houston catcher or the Stanford catcher.
Okay. Well, they did get a catcher, and there you go. Mike Bacsik's Baseball Nuggets getting you up to date with baseball. And look, we're not done with baseball. I imagine Mike likes it. We might dip back into it.
Plenty of baseball left. So for all you people that said hello to me and love me and love the station and love KNC Masterpiece, don't worry. I got you covered, as they told me. There's nothing like Mike Bacsik and talking baseball on 105.3 The Fan.
It's the baseball show of record. I've often said that. So, yeah, that we're going to keep that going for you here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's dive into this series that's been happening on ESPN. Who are the top 10 quarterbacks? And does Dak Prescott make an appearance? We'll talk about that more next on The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.